In the old days, the voice on the other end of the phone was human. More and more, it's not.
Welcome to United Airlines Flight Information Line. If you ever need assistance, just say help, and I'll take things from there.
That's part of a new generation of computerized phone systems. The voices refer to themselves in the first person, and they engage you, almost like a real conversation. They're an example of a new relationship between human and machine, a relationship that not everyone thinks is a good idea. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
It happened not too long ago. I called Thrifty Car Rental, and there she was.
All I need from you is the details of your rental, such as when you need the car and the type of car you want. Once I've given you one or more rate quotes, I can pass on all the details of your rental to an agent who can then book your car immediately. Oh, before we continue, here's a few things to remember. At any time.
Oh, and before we continue? Did she really forget that? This is a machine, right?
At what airport or city are you picking up the car?
Los Angeles, California.
You are flying in, correct?
Yep. On the one hand, we were having a remarkably fluid conversation. So fluid, I began talking as if I were talking to a real person. I kind of liked her. I mean, it. But then I felt tricked. I felt like the dog who, when you fake throwing a ball, he goes running looking for it, time and time again.
On which date will you pick up the car?
What's your name?
Sorry, I didn't understand. Please say the pickup date, or say help for more information.
What are you doing after work?
On what date?
Well, I think that that's a sign of good engagement.
Blade Catelli works for a company called Speechworks. He helped design this system. And he says it's not crazy to want to talk to these machines. One reviewer wrote, after using this kind of system, you will want to take the voice to dinner. Which Catelli says you didn't with the typical voice it replaced.
It would say things over the top with a produced voice. If you're a member, press or say 1. It didn't feel like it was talking to me. I almost looked behind me to see who it was talking to.
It used to be that you had to press buttons. Speech recognition only worked if you spoke the Queen's English into a high-quality microphone. But voice recognition software has gotten clever, as have designers. The conversation with Thrifty is carefully choreographed, so the computer only has to understand a handful of statements. During the design process, Catelli and others map out hundreds of possible conversational paths on a flowchart. Catelli thinks about the pauses, the cadence, the oh, by the ways. What do you want, he says. No personality? No such thing.
There's a movie called Bicentennial Man in which Robin Williams plays a robot, and he asks his new owner a question. He says, you can have one with or without personality. Which would you like? And the owner says, I think we'll stick with what we've got. But he has a personality. It's just a classically 1950s robotic personality. Dry, monotone language.
That is a personality. It's like the butler in all those old English movies.
So, since we're going to have a personality, regardless of what we do, let's make it the best one it can be. If callers feel at ease and feel natural using the system, they'll be able to hang up that phone call with a smile. Or at least not think about it too much and just get on with the rest of their day.
By the way, if Catelli sounds a bit like one of those modern phone mail systems, it's no coincidence. He's coached some of the actors who record them. I asked Catelli and some other people who work on phone systems if there was any research that really suggested people prefer computers with personality. They all pointed to the work of two Stanford sociologists, Clifford Nass and Byron Reeves. Reeves says we have no choice but to interact socially with machines. Millions of years of evolution have created humans that are social animals. We type or click a mouse, the computer responds. We see it as a conversation, even more so with speech.
I think what happens now is that technology is able to now listen. Say, I can do that for you. I can do what you just said for you. So we are in a conversation now. And that notion, I think, is really the one that invites people to be uncomfortable or people to really celebrate this.
Over a 10-year period, Reeves and Nass did a series of experiments, testing to see if the rules of human-to-human interaction applied when one participant was a machine. For instance, they tested a rule about politeness.
If I ask you a question about how I'm doing, you will politely respond that I'm doing well. So if I say, David, how am I doing in this interview so far? Likely, you would politely respond, hopefully, that, wow, it sounds great. You're doing well. But if another person asked you how Byron was doing in the interview so far, you might respond more honestly and you might include some negative commentary.
To see if this applied to computers, Reeves and Nass had people sit down at a computer, which silently tutored them in some subject. Afterward, that same computer flashed up a questionnaire asking the person, how did this computer do?
Another group of people came in, the same computer gave them the same lessons on the same topics, and then when the computer was finished with the lessons, we wheeled the chair around to a second computer that looked identical to the first. Now, the second computer said, how did that other computer over there do as a teacher? And the responses to the second computer were much more honest. They were more negative, almost the exact same response that you'd give to a second person in real life. So we were able to demonstrate that quite unconsciously, automatically, people were polite to machines, a hunk of junk that asked about itself.
That may be so, but some people get a little queasy when a computer says I, puts on human airs. Ben Schneiderman does. He's a computer scientist at the University of Maryland's Human-Computer Interaction Lab. He says most people like machines to act like machines.
The deception that a machine could be like a person is troubling to most people. And that's why over the years, the repeated attempts to make machines smart or intelligent, although the designers thought it was cool, is consistently rejected by consumers.
Schneiderman points to the Postal Buddy, a failed billion-dollar project to put anthropomorphic sales kiosks in post offices, or to Microsoft's Clippy, the cheerful paperclip that used to pop up on the screen offering help, the cheerful paperclip that many users wanted to kill. But Clippy does have his defenders. They say his problem wasn't that he had personality. It was that he had a bad personality. Clippy was overeager. They argue that a machine's personality has to match the user and the situation. One of SpeechWorks' competitors, a company called General Magic, has come up with a personality called Zach, who'll handle your voicemail. And while Zach says I and talks like a real person, you know he's not real. Potentially, it's less unnerving.
Welcome to the Telephone Mail Center. You have to tell me your PIN. Duh.
5124.
5124, right?
Yeah.
Good. I'm so happy you know your numbers. Here's where I tell you how many new messages you have because you're such a wonderful person. You have one message, probably junk mail.
Zach is an experiment. General Magic is not banking on him being very popular, except maybe at a store that sells snowboards. But they are betting that voice interfaces with personality will be big. They've even got a patent on the idea, which could lead to some interesting lawsuits. Lawsuits involving questions like, what is personality? And is it something only humans have? David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.